A woman of noble character will at all times remember. Calm composure flummoxes the schemes of evil-intended people. Dignity and Decorum, The Genteel Lady's Guide to Practical Living. Chapter 1. London, England, late May, 1822.
Flim-flam and goose-butt feathers!
One hand hiding her mouth, Blythe Culpepper gaped as she trailed her cousin Brooke and Brooke's husband Heath, the Earl of Ravensdale, into the mansion. Surely that wasn't authentic gold, gilding the ornate cornices. Squinting to see better, she surveyed the grand entrance. Yes, it is. And not just the sculpted cornices either. The plasterwork, and practically every other surface, excluding the coffered ceiling's elaborate paintings, and the rose-tinted marble floor, boasted the shiny adornment. Everything pink and gold and glittery and costly.
What a despicable waste of money!
Flinging Heath a hasty glance, Blythe checked her muttering. It wouldn't do to offend him or their hostess within a minute of arrival. The peeress, swathed in gold satin and dripping in diamonds, 3 diamond bracelets on each wrist, stood beside an enormous urn. Blythe fought the scowl tugging at her mouth and brows. Disgusting, this brazen flaunting of wealth. Clamping her slack mouth closed, she reluctantly passed a waiting footman her silk wrap. A chill shook her, puckering her flesh from forearms to shoulders. Maddening nerves. She hadn't expected the pomp or the mob's crush to affect her. A simple teardrop-shaped beryl pendant nestled at the juncture of her breasts, and Blythe pressed a hand to the expanse of flesh exposed above her wide square neckline. Did she dare tug the bodice higher? After dressing, she'd attempted to, but the fabric had remained stubbornly form-fitting, the slopes of her bosoms pushed skyward for the world to ogle at their leisure. Repressing a scornful grunt, she tipped her mouth a fraction. In 20 years, the smallish twin pillows had never garnered much ogling. Probably little need to fret in that regard. Tripping over her gown remained an entirely different matter. Her second-hand garments had always been too short for her tall frame. Since exiting the carriage, this ball gown, its sheer silk overdress atop the yellow jonquil swirling about her feet, had become snared thrice upon her slippers' decorated tops. She would have to endure these outings for the remainder of the season, and she didn't relish sprawling, bum upward, before the Tons denizens. Tapping her fan against her thigh, she estimated how many public jaunts the season might entail, and hid an unladylike groan behind an indelicate cough. God spare her! The instant the final dance note faded, she planned on trotting back to the country's quiet civility, to the humble, familiar way of life she preferred. Or perhaps she'd contrive a minor scandal. Nothing too ruinous, merely shameful enough to see her banished in moderate disgrace. Yes, that might do. This gaudy, glistening parade quite shred her normally robust nerves. A calculated, hasty departure might be just the thing. After all, she hadn't come to London to marry. On her to-do list, acquiring a husband ranked below cleaning the chamber pots and mucking the stalls. Unless, of course, she found a man who adored her the way Heath cherished Brooke. Fanciful imagining that. Stuff and nonsense. Fairy tales. At least for Blythe. According to Mama, even as a toddler, Blythe had possessed a determined, some might say daunting, personality. Now, as an adult, the unfeminine characteristic chaffed men's arses, and patience raw. No one who knew her had ever used acquiescent and her name in the same sentence, and she wouldn't scheme to snare a husband with false biddableness. Humbly accepting the dowry Heath had bestowed upon her hadn't made the prospect of wedding more tempting, and though grateful for his generosity, she couldn't expect him to provide for her indefinitely. In a month she'd be of age and free to make her own decisions, which included returning to Culpeper Park and the new house Brooke had commissioned. Somehow, Blythe would eke out an existence there. A slight shudder rippled the length of her spine. No more giving music lessons, though.